This is the October 1st, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 30 minutes scheduled for the properties before us. The hearings before us involve petition 862 through 972. The properties are all owned by AE Green Mountain, LLC. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Greg LeBlanc here for the appellant's agent. If you could now please raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear your testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023, your client properties. As of 2023, keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeals.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen if that is okay.
Sure.
Looks like I might have two here. Stop that. Looks like I have too many things open at the moment. So let's try. Okay, here we are. Okay. So you should see our executive summary there. So this is the Thrive at Green Mountain Townhomes. It consists of 111 townhome lots in Camas. It's on 7.89 acres. Here is the lot listings because we have 111. So the property is under construction. It's in the Green Mountain PUD area, which allows for over 14.1 units per acre. So this particular property, as of January 1, 2023, the subdivision was under construction with another $1.25 million of costs needed to complete the lot development. The townhome lots were finished by July 31st, 2023. The development will be built as 111 unit townhome community consisting of 2- and 3-story buildings. The units will be 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath townhomes with either a single or 2-car garage, and the townhomes will range between 1,400 and 1,700 plus square feet, an average 1,560 square feet when they're complete. However, the important thing to note here, as of July 31st, 2023, no vertical construction on the townhome improvements had started. And I'm using the July 31st, 2023 date since this is Washington. We have the construction through July 31, 2023 statute that we have to adhere to. So I've included all development costs through July 31, 2023 for the lot development. If we're looking, here's a aerial showing where the subject's located in the Green Mountain area of Camas, and here's an aerial of the neighborhood, the area. You can see that the townhome lots, when this aerial was taken, were just in the infancy of being developed. And here's a plat showing the 111 lots as platted. And here's a summary from the plans showing that the average lot area is 1,770 square feet, and the lots range in size from 1,300 to 4,600 square feet, and includes some, you know, public right of way and alleys and access and open space. As far as is there any questions regarding what the property is or what we're looking at?
No.
Okay. So the valuation of the subject lots. Value is we've got a difference in opinion of over $5 million between where the lots are assessed and what our concluded value. I believe the lots are assessed at about $150,000 per lot. Our valuation is largely based on an appraisal completed by Mark Skelty, MAI, and Alan Hicks Jr. of Western Realty Advisors. The appraisal was completed on July 13th, 2023 for financing purposes. So the appraisal was completed very close to that July 31st, 2023 cutoff date for new construction. And the appraisal assumed that the lots were finished and there was no vertical construction of the townhomes. So relevant portions that are of the appraisal are attached as Exhibit 1, and that's on pages P11 to 54, and they provide an as-is market value, fee simple market value, and here we say they include to a value of $12,360,000. We note that this value is about $982,500 higher than the requested value that we have requested. We note that the value difference is attributed to the owner's projected construction cost to complete the finished lots. So the appraisal had quoted a higher cost to bring the lots from raw land to finish. The owner disputes that it was that much. So we essentially employ the same methodology that the assessor used in valuation. We just use a different construction number. So as far as the valuation for the lots, in the more robust market, there would be bulk lot sales or town home lots that the appraiser would be able to draw from and conclude to a value. Unfortunately, there are no bulk lot sales of finished townhome lots in the market. So the appraiser had to do the next best available thing, and that was to look at raw land values of comparable sales that were purchased for subdivision, future subdivision development, and then add in construction costs to finish into finished lots. So this is what they did. So they first, in the appraisal completed by Western Realty Advisors, I get this large, they've got five sales, and they've noted what the sales were on a price per unit basis, in this case a price per lot. They've adjusted for time, and they've adjusted for location, and they've adjusted for zoning and density and overall site size and topography and other factors, whether they were buying with entitlements or not, and then they were adjusting, and they were coming out with an adjusted value range, looks like between $26,000 and $45,000 per lot. They used this, and they concluded to a value of $45,000 per lot, which is at the upper end of their range. So they have 111 lots times 45,000 equals a value of $5 million rounded. That's an as-is value just of the bare land without any lot improvements to finish the lots for a new townhome lot construction. One thing also notable is that this value is considerably more than what the owner paid for the site in February of 2018. At the time, the owner purchased a subject site in adjacent 6-acre parcel for $2.7 million total. This is a 13-14 acre parcel that they bought. So the apportioned purchase price for the subject site as raw land would have been just over $1.5 million based on that. Then in determining the improved site value, again, these charts are from the appraisal completed by Western Realty Advisors. They added cost spent to date, which is they quoted as at almost $6.7 million. And that was the cost. That includes the hard construction cost to put in the infrastructure, put in the utilities, and get the lots to a finished state. That also includes financing costs, soft costs for design and engineering, and additional soft cost items. And then the appraiser also added an entrepreneurial incentive, which they projected at 10%. So that's added in. So their as-is value for the land as finished lots is $12,360,000. We are disputing that $6,698,000 figure that was used by the appraiser in their as-is analysis, and are based on the costs that we count. We say that those site development costs are $5.8 million. We think that some of the figures that the assessor used when they were getting the costs from the owner, they were kind of, there's additional commingling of costs that are associated with the actual vertical construction of the townhomes. So if you're kind of trying to pull out the actual costs that were just related to the lot construction, you get a value of $5.8 million and not $6.7 million. So we've included that. The running of all the particular costs as Exhibit 2, but real quickly we can look and we can see we've got 111 units, lots, valued at $45,000 per lot, so that gives us a value of $4,995,000, plus the $5.8 million site development cost, plus the 10% entrepreneurial incentive, gives us a value of $11,377,500, or about $102,500 per lot. So we've also included the hard costs from the contractor showing $3 million in hard costs for the construction. That's from Legacy 6. So the additional items are soft costs related. So that's attached as Exhibit 3, but real quickly, if we look at, we have, this is Exhibit 2, so these are all the costs that we have for these site development costs. So this is the owner's site development costs that started in 2018 and into 2020 and through 2022 and into 2023 all the way through July 10th of 2023, and we get a cost of $5.8 million. And also we have the pay app from the general contractor, Legacy 6, and, they've got a contract sum of $3,013,000 through this, and that was through May 31st of 23. So these costs are included in this number, but we're just including as much detail on the actual construction costs as we can here. So we also looked at, so is there any questions as to how the as-is fee simple value is calculated here?
Run through that again. The development cost of $5.8 million is made up of the $3 million plus soft costs. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And the soft costs are what again?
Soft costs could be permitting fees, financing costs, engineering fees, geotech reports.
And those are the ones that are delineated on Exhibit 3.
Yeah, you can see what they are. We've got
Sewer
development fees. We've got permits. We've got fees that you have to pay to the City of Camas. We've got engineering fees.
But the remainder of the $3 million is delineated there also.
Yeah, the actual cost, so you can see the cost to Legacy 6 construction.
Got it. Okay.
Here.
All right. So that $5.8 million really ties to that whole exhibit, right? Exhibit 3.
Yeah. See, it's totaled right here down at the bottom of $5.8 million.
What page is that?
P158.
Okay. Got it. All right.
So we also looked at the assessor's support, and to be honest, it's a bit of a head scratcher because I really can't tell how they came up with their values. And as near as I can tell, what they did is a land residual analysis where they say the land is valued at a portion of the overall value. So it looks like what they've done is they've used improved sales. When I say improved sales, I'm talking about they've taken sales of finished townhomes, and then they've looked at those sales, and then they've looked at the assessed value to the land for those sales, and that's what they've used. But I don't know how they determine the assessed value for the land. It's really strange to me. So it looks like they've used this kind of what we call land residual technique, and this is a secondary technique that's usually kind of a back of the envelope type analysis, where the ranges for, if we say that if you're going to build something, then this percentage of value is in the improvements and this percentage of value is in the land. And the percentage of range that you see for the land is typically 15% to 25% of the overall value. But in this case, it looks like the assessor has employed ranges of, up to, 50% of the improved value. So using a much higher range, it really doesn't seem to make any sense. Also, I mean...
Let me stop you for 1 second. If we go to the assessors, he's got two charts. One is just for land value, and is that determined? That's the value that they've assigned to these properties you're talking about, the Thrive at Green Mountain, the $150,000, and the other schedule is taking assessed values of existing sales and comparing that to the sale price and then developing a land value from that. I mean, I don't see how, I'm not understanding how they did it. I mean, I'm not asking you to say how they did it. I'm just saying, do you understand how they did it? I mean, I think that's what
you're... Yeah, I don't see any support for the land valuation here. And on top of that, what they're using is sales of finished townhomes.
Yeah.
That's the sales they are quoting, and that's not what we have. We have no townhomes on our site. It's just, you know, finished lots. No vertical construction has occurred. So, again, if you're going to use a finished townhome, you've got to back out all these costs. And, you know, if you've got a subdivision, you've got all these holding costs. You've got an absorption to take over months to sell out. You've got the owner in the meantime is responsible for insurance and real estate taxes and sales commissions and things. It's really a stretch to do this type of analysis. I get it. There's no bulk lot sales out there that we can pull and determine, values of finished townhome lots. But in absence of that, I think the methodology employed by Western Realty in their appraisal by looking at land parcels that were being purchased for subdivision development and then concluding to a raw land value per unit and then adding in our construction costs and then adding in an entrepreneurial incentive is a much better way of doing it than whatever the assessor has done. And again, I don't see any support for their land value. I just see numbers.
Yeah, so you're saying that the total preparation cost to get these properties to the point of building a building on them is this $11,377,000.
Yes,
or he quoted, and
yeah,
and that's how you determine the land value because you have no buildings on it, and you've gotten the cost, and you've added in a profit factor of 10%. So now you're saying comparing that to the value that they assigned of $150,000 per lot.
Yeah. So, that's what I'm saying. So I'm saying, here's our raw land value, just under $5 million. Then we've got all the costs to finish to where it is as of July 31st, 2023, which equates to finished townhome lots. You know, the timing works out that way. Then we have an entrepreneurial incentive that we add. And that's $11,377,500. We can see here's the report prepared by Western Realty Advisors. It's prepared by Mark Skelty, MAI, and Alan Hicks. Mr. Skelty has been an appraiser since I was in high school. And he has a specialization in subdivision appraisal. So we can see, I tried to just include I blacked out portions here because they've concluded to values as complete for the townhome development, and that's obviously we're not going to share that with the assessor because that is into the future. Yeah, but you can see they've got, here's their photographs of the site. So you can see that, you know, we have the streets are in, the sidewalks are in. You know, this is not our development to the right. You know, you can see it's basically there and it's ready to start vertical construction of townhomes.
Okay, I think I've got it. I'll let the others ask their questions when they get to it. But let me go back to page P18, if I can.
Okay.
And I think I agree that, you know, it was all cited. You're saying this was done as of July 13th, is that correct?
That's correct.
The appraisal was.
Yes.
And if you divide that 12,360,000 by 111 lots, you'd get roughly 111,351 per lot. And yours, by reducing the costs that you say are actual costs that were put into that to finish it as of July 31st, I don't know how much was going on between the 13th and the 31st, but at any rate, you're saying the actual costs were the $5,000,008, and then you added that to the land value, which you agreed with, and then put in the profit factor to get to the $102,500. So that's a difference you have between your own appraisal and what you're saying is the cost per lot.
That's correct, and I think if we look at the appraisers, here's the CV for the appraiser Mark Skelty, but yeah, mm-hmm. They've got these land development costs at $4.6 million that they reference. So I don't know where they're getting. This is the only fee. I didn't want to share, you know, a bunch of other costs here, but you know, presumably some of this $4.6 million includes, and then they've got some soft costs and whatnot. But this pertains to the entire. That's why it's blacked out for the entire 111 townhome development. And I didn't want to provide those costs to the assessor. I just wanted to keep it to the land. So that's unfortunately as much detail as they have in the report as far as costs go, is this exhibit right here.
And then we have no detailed basis as to how the assessor came up with the $150,000.
I don't see it. I see that they've used land sales, or excuse me, not land sales, of finished townhomes. You know, I started looking up these sales and I was like, well, this is a finished townhome. You know, it says built in 21 in 2019. And you know, just, I've never seen anything like it. And again, I used to be a commercial appraiser. I got my start at Lumiscato's office in Beaverton, which coincidentally is where Mr. Skelty started back in the 80s. You know, and the first thing I ever worked on for Mr. Moscato was a subdivision development. This is in the, you know, just coming out of the Great Recession, so everything I was working on was bank-owned subdivision work. If we think we don't have sales now, we really didn't have sales back then to work with, because there was really no sales. And if we did have a sale, it was, you know, a foreclosure sale. So, again, even in that market, where we had even less sales activity, we would never think to employ an analysis like the assessor has apparently used.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stop sharing my screen.
I think I have enough information. How about Lisa and John? Are you guys?
I have enough information.
Yeah, I think I'm okay with it. The land sales that your appraiser used are shown there on your page P38. They've got some sales in there and how they broke that out. It appears that it was undeveloped land and the same thing. I don't have any other questions on her.
Yeah. And I've got in Exhibit 1 in the excerpts from Skelty's report, I have a more detailed evaluation of his as-is value for the raw land. And that's included. But, you know, I'm just showing you the highlights in the summary.
Right. Right. I don't have any other questions.
Did you look at the development of costs in the prior developments in Green Mountain?
You know, I think those are other developers that are working on that, so that's not something you usually have access to unless you were, you know, asked to appraise one of those properties, or in this case, if one of our other clients we represented, but no.
I guess maybe I phrased the question wrong. Did you have availability of that information to you, and I guess you're saying no.
No, I didn't have that information to me, and you know, and you know, the appraiser, again, Mark Skelty, he's been doing this for so long that he knows, you know, what it costs to bring, you know, lots to a finished state, and if he thought it was unreasonable, he would conclude to a different value than what he did here. And, you know, he would have used a different, you know, sometimes we get things from owners and, you know, they're trying to inflate things, for financing. But, you know, it all seemed reasonable to him.
Yeah. All right, I got it.
All right.
Lisa and John, do you need anything else?
No, I don't. I have enough information.
Okay. I think we have it.
Okay. All great. Okay. I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Close the hearing.
This is the October 1st, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before us, we will be reviewing late files submitted to the Clark County Board of Equalization. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. The first late file before us is from Renee Verdier for property ID 12985900. She's using the request for reconvening code 1, which states the taxpayer submits a sworn affidavit to the board stating the notice of change of value for the assessment year was not received at least 15 days prior to the deadline of the filing. This request must be filed by April 30th. She stated, "I didn't get the notice of evaluation as I am only able to go to my P.O. box about 2 times a year. She has dizziness and mobility issues, which makes it difficult to leave home. She's 78 years old and lives alone and needs a knee surgery, which she has not gotten." And she stated she did not receive this notice of value using that reconvening code 1.
It's because she didn't go to her box. It wasn't that she didn't receive it.
She does not know if she received it, is what she's saying. Yeah.
So are we going to give her a break or not?
I would question that one. I don't care one way or the other, but...
Yeah. I don't know. Hey, we've got lighter cases. We need to work. Maybe we should go ahead and hear it for an extra day.
Okay. Go ahead. We'll hear it.
Okay. That one's an okay. Let me add that. The next one is from... Bodily Linda, trustee for property ID 265-517-000. She submitted the good cause request. She stated, did not receive notice in 60 days to respond. And then I can't read her last word.
Bodily Linda or Linda Bodily?
Bodily Linda. But... I guess her full name is Linda Bodily, but she wrote it Bodily Linda, trustee. It's probably a trust. She used the good cause request form, which she did not state which reason she's using. She just wrote, did not receive within 60 days to respond.
What does that mean, did not receive within 60 days?
I think she was trying to use reconvening code 1, similar to what I said for the previous one, but... There's no reason on the good cause request form that goes with that. The reasons on that one include illness, out of town, that they got incorrect advice, natural disaster, or employee got the wrong information, or the postal service messed up.
And what did she say?
Here, hold on, just so I don't miss anything, I'm just going to share this with you. Hold on. So this is what she wrote for her good cause request form. I don't know what those last two words are.
As usual.
That's what I figured it was, but I wasn't 100% sure. Or per usual. But yeah, that's all she wrote for that.
I would send it back to her and tell her that the... It's not clear what her reason is and which one she falls into.
Okay. All right. So we'll look at this one again later.
Yeah.
Okay. And our final one is from Vancouver Park Place LLC for property IDs 16053200 and 16026200 for... both are Vancouver Park Place LLC. Like I said, they are requests for reconvening. He stated, we had a petition or a pending BOE hearing for 2023 for 2024 that was not heard until 8/8/2024. The board's decision resulted in a reduction. Our decision to appeal was dependent on the outcome of that hearing, which was determined 2 months after July 1st deadline. Did he not give me the form? Which he used reconvening code 5B, which states the assessor or taxpayer requests the board reconvene the following... Oh, this one is more complicated. I'll explain it. The assessor or taxpayer requests the board reconvene under the following conditions. Real property within the county is revalued on an annual basis. A timely appeal was pending before the BOE when the property was revalued for an intervening year and the assessed value did not change. No appeal was filed for the intervening year. The reconvening request is filed within 30 days of the board's decision. So that kind of works. And just so you know, Vancouver Park Place did not receive a notice of value because they were not going to have a change in value for this property, but they would have received a change in value after our decision now. So they didn't have a notice of value to appeal, but should have had one because we changed their value at this time.
This is the one that has the Olive Garden and...
Yes.
All that stuff in it, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I guess based on what you read, it sounds like that that is a valid reason to appeal.
Yeah, I think it does match that reasoning. We don't see that very often, but I do think that is what it's saying.
We've had ones before that have said they had a pending appeal at the BTA, but we've not allowed it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's kind of the way I'm thinking on it. I mean, we have these people and we tell them, go ahead and file preemptive that, you know, even though you don't know what's going to be, just file because you can always change.
Mm-hmm. And John, that's what I told him for next year. I said, go ahead and just file before July 1st. But Dan, based on the wording, it does say pending before the BOE. So I think you would have been right to deny it for BTA, but I could see if there's one pending before us, how that would be different.
Yeah, okay. All right, I guess we allow it then.
Okay. Okay, two okays, and then I'll reach out to Bodily Linda for more information. Can I close the hearing?
Okay, close that.
This is the October 1st, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearings before us involve petitions number 859, 860, and 861 for property IDs 587-00-000, 213752-000, 213782-000. The properties are all owned by Ridgefield Storage, Inc. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Travis Carlson here as the agent for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your client's property as of January 1st. 2023. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
I did have one question. So we did submit our evidence untimely. Will that evidence be allowed in, or how is that going to work?
It will not be allowed. It has to be in 21 business days prior.
So then I would like, since I don't have any evidence to present, I would like to, at least on the record, state that we never received anything from the assessor as well within 21 days. And so we asked the board to give both parties additional side time to provide that information so we can move forward with an actual evidentiary hearing.
We are closing out the year, and your obligation is to provide the information 21 days prior to, regardless of what you've received from the assessor. In the interim. So if you held up waiting for that, then it's unfortunately your problem. And we're going to go ahead and make a decision on this hearing today. And you have the ability to appeal to the state, which is what I call a de novo hearing. Starts all over again, and you present all your information. They will give you a timetable in writing when everything has to be done, what has to be done, and everything that has to be done on time, and they have no tolerances for those dates that are set for you to submit information, or you have an obligation to make a good faith attempt to resolve it before it gets to the BTA. And so if you don't follow those instructions, they'll rule without having had that information. So.
Understood. Thank you, Mr. Weaver.
So, do you have anything to say at this point?
I mean, the only thing I have to say is I believe both parties have an obligation to provide information within 21 days. We accept our failure to not provide an information, but we do also believe the assessor does as well. So, so that's all we have to say.
Okay. I'll close the hearing then. Any questions?